Leprosy. Awful thing. I don't know whether any of you have seen anyone with leprosy. This a magazine, the Leprosy Association Mission. It's in the entrance. If you ever want to take it and have a look, there's more than one copy. It was the worst disease of their day. And what leprosy does to people is horrendous. It attacks the body, leaving sores, missing fingers, missing toes, damaged limbs. The disease can take 30 years to run its course, and in that time span, entire limbs can even drop off. A most horrible disease. How dreadful this disease must have been in the days of Jesus. It wasn't just the damage to the people, it wasn't just the loud cries and shrieks that they made. It was also the smell of rotting, decaying flesh. And the emotional pain of the leper must have been even worse sometimes than the physical pain. They were removed from their families, from their community. There could be no contact with their child, with their grandchildren. Their wives wouldn't be allowed to kiss them goodbye. They wouldn't have allowed it because they wouldn't want their wives to get infected. Now, lepers used to roam together in groups, looking for food, begging for help to people at a large distance. They learnt to yell in loud voices to make people hear. They also yelled to warn others, don't come here, don't come near. Just imagine what it would have been like not only to have had that dreadful disease, but to be separated from your family and your friends for a lifetime. Horrible. And yet, in this account, 10 men, a group of 10, meet Jesus, and they heard him say the most unusual thing. They yelled at him, "We want to be well." And Jesus, the great teacher, he responded. He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." He doesn't reach out his hand to heal them. He tells them to go to the priest. Well, he says that because the local priest had duties other than worship. The priests were also, you might say, health officials. If a person had been miraculously healed from leprosy, it was up to the priest to inspect their bodies, to test for complete removal of the disease, and then to announce, "You are healed." In such cases, the person would have been cleansed, and at that point, it would have been fine for them to go and find their family, to kiss and hug their family, to look for work again as well. If the priests looked at them, tested them, and gave them the okay, they were healed. Now, Jesus says to the lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, what do you think they do? They will look at themselves. Are we meant to be healed? A mangled hand, awful leg, terrible skin. In other words, when Jesus actually said that at that point, the men were no better off than they had been 10 minutes earlier when they'd first seen Jesus, that famous teacher and healer. But at his word, they headed off in search of the priest. And when they did that, they were healed. Just imagine. You had no hand, your hand appeared. You had no leg, you were limping with a stick. Your leg was there. You look at her skin. Oh, it's healed. It's beautiful. There's one man looking, and he looks at the others and he says, are you all right? And they do that to each other, and then they all cheer, cheer. So they race off to the priest. But they're not quite sure that their nightmare is over, but it looks as if it is. In order for the miracle to happen, the men had to start walking in faith before their circumstances had changed one bit. I'm sure we know here how hard it can be at times to walk by faith, to walk in our faith, to do that before the problems are over. But we can't put conditions on a holy God, can we? We can't say to him, God, as soon as there's enough money, I'll put a lot in the collection. Oh, God, once you solve what's happening in my family and all the arguments and things like that, well, then I'll go back to church. We can't put conditions on God. Instead, God asks us to have faith in what he's doing before anything has changed. God might say, I want you to love me despite the disease, despite what is wrong. I want you to obey me despite the lack of talent, despite your lack of resources. He might say, follow me now despite your depression. In the 70s, I had several years of depression, and I know how hard it was to still stay with God, to follow God when everything seemed to be falling apart. But God asks us to have faith in what he is doing, in how he is doing it. God asks us to praise him even in the darkest of nights and in the worst of circumstances. And I know some of you here have done that. This is how God is. He is a God who loves us so much. He loves each one of us. He gives us the opportunity to be thankful when there's nothing particularly to be thankful about, and perhaps things are difficult. I don't know what you do when you're finding, I can't see anything today, God, to be thankful for. What do you do? My prayer station, as it were, is beside a window, and I can look out onto the garden. And would you believe it, there's always a bird, isn't there? And it's like a discipline. I know things are difficult, Lord, but I'm looking at a bird that you created and I say thankful, thank you. At a tree, at a flower, even a dandelion. This is what faith should be like. If we praised God only on the good days, only in the best of circumstances, it wouldn't be faith at all, would it? So let's be thankful in the work of God's goodness. And this kind of thankfulness is worship. And that's what we're doing today. We are singing hymns of thanks today and hymns of worship, ones to uplift us towards God. Now, one of the men in the story came back to Jesus and praised God. He was thankful. And he was quite public about it. He didn't go and whisper in Jesus' ear, did he? He was loud. He wasn't shy. Why was he loud? Because as soon as he started to go, like Jesus had told him, he realized he had been healed. I wonder if it had been years since he'd been like that. He didn't know how to come to the Lord, to Jesus, quietly, or even in a normal voice. It was such amazing, great news. And when he came back, he fell at the feet of Jesus. He was louder at that point than any of us, and he was praising God, and he didn't mind who heard. This week, we all need to be sure that we take time, some time, to acknowledge God for his goodness. Even when we're feeling down and unthankful, we need to make time to actually be thankful, to find something like that bird, that dandelion, that sandwich maybe. The fact that you've got a bed to go to bed on. Another thing Jesus has told people in his Bible, in the Word, is don't miss the opportunity to worship God in your life. I don't know who you share with in particular about prayer and about God. One of the people I share with is Dorothy Dodgson. And we used to share with Rose. Rose used to send texts and emails, didn't she? When things to uplift us, she would send little things. But now, Ruth, be thankful, because this is what is happening in our lives. It is so much better if we can share with somebody else. One healed leper came back. One of the 2 10 caught himself in the middle of celebration and he returned to Jesus. He put everything else on hold and he came back to the one who had brought life and healing to him. And Jesus asked him, "You're here, where are the other 9? Jesus had said, remember, go and show yourselves to the priests. He never said to them, you have to express thankfulness to God or return to me. But I think it's what he expected. And thankfulness isn't just words, is it? We express our thankfulness in other ways, in deeds. So I wonder, what is Jesus asking you to do this week? To express thankfulness to him and God the Father. I wonder if the Holy Spirit has been talking to you and urging you towards some action this week. It doesn't have to have been a big thing, just perhaps something small. Something happened to me yesterday. I went to the shop for a bottle of milk and I was wanting to go home and make a cup of tea. That's what I'd gone for the milk for. And David said to me, "Don't, I hope you don't meet anybody again. Do you know what it's like and that you're a long time?" And I said, "Oh no, I know you want your cup of tea. I'll be really quick." Well, I wasn't really quick because earlier on I'd been talking to God about this, about showing thankfulness. And who should come out of the shop but Brian? He had a big smile. I could have just said, "Oh, it's lovely to see you, Brian. How's Nora?" And he would say, well, he did say, "Oh, she's doing quite well. She's in Montpellier, yes. And she's talking to people and she's enjoying it." But somehow God spoke to me in that little bit. And he said, "Look at his face, Ruth." And his face didn't express that. And despite what David had said at home, I knew God was saying, God's Spirit was saying to me, "This is what I want you to do at the moment, Ruth. I want you to listen to Brian. He's on his own at home. This is what I've sent you for milk for at this point." And so I absolutely felt compelled to do so. It was really important. And after he'd gone, I thanked God that he used me. It wasn't a difficult thing to do. So Just keep a lookout this week for God speaking to you. Just see if there is something that the Holy Spirit compels you to do. If you hear that, just assume that it definitely is God and He is pulling you or pushing you to an area that He wants looking after.